The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Story, and everyone is dead from AIDS. It took from me my best friend, my only true pal, my only bright star.
He died of AIDS.
Well, I'm gonna march on Washington, lead the fight and charge the brigades. There's a hero inside of all of us. I'll make them see everyone has AIDS. My father,
AIDS.
My sister,
AIDS.
My uncle and my cousin and her best friend,
AIDS, AIDS.
Gays and the straights and the whites and the spades.
Everyone has AIDS.
My grandma and my dog are all blue.
AIDS, AIDS, AIDS.
The Pope has got it and so do you.
AIDS, AIDS, AIDS,
come
AIDS.
On everybody, we got quilting to do.
AIDS, AIDS, AIDS,
we're gonna break down these barricades. Everyone has AIDS.
AIDS, 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 AIDS,
Serpentine and dandelion wine. I've turned the corner and I'm doing fine. Shooting at the birds on the telephone line, picking them off with this gun of mine. Got fire in my belly and fire in my head, going higher and higher until I'm dead. Now Brother Gene, he's a big and mean. He don't have much to say. He had a little woman who he would be stay, but now she's gone away. I got drunk last night, kicked mama down the stairs, but I'm alright, so I don't care. Oh, the sun shines bright in my old Kentucky home, and the young folks roll on the floor. Yes, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. Keep them hard times away from my door. Now Sister Sue, she's short and stout. She didn't grow up, she grew out. Mama says she's plain, but she's just being kind. Papa thinks she's pretty, but he's almost blind. Don't let her out much, except at night. But I don't care, cause I'm alright. Serpentine and dandelion wine. I've turned the corner and I'm doing fine. Shooting at the birds on the telephone line, picking them off with this gun of mine. Got fire in my belly and fire in my head, going higher and higher until I'm dead.
That's his control over there, you know what I mean?
Thank you. Okay, put down the smartphones, okay? Put them down. Everybody turn them off. Power off. Or saving energy. Come on, time for something else. Wake up, it's night, because that something else is me, Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, my godfather of internet radio, the pioneer of the great cyber world of talk. This is it. You can take Sean Hannity, you can shove him out the 12th story window with all of the others, even the other guys. Ari Melber, I like you, but you should shave more often. I don't know. Hey, here we are. It's a big weekend for us.
Yeah.
And we're right here with you, and Dusty Nathan's back from the... No, where? I don't know. Where was he? Ice cap to ice cap from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Once again, I am here, and with me is the spawn of my loins. What is it called? I spawned from my loins. With the help, the opposite sex. Here is Ray Cotolo with us there. For our partial Kentucky Derby, soiree. I don't know. You know, years ago, and it was years ago, Mr. Dusty Nathan, whose first name will never be mentioned anywhere in public, came on this show and we would talk the Thursday before the first Saturday in May about the Kentucky Derby. Mr. Dusty, if you don't have Facebook and you didn't read this wonderful thing he wrote about me, which is I don't deserve it. I deserve more. Dusty and I go back a long way, doing many of the same things, liking many of the same people, being hated by many of the same people. And here he disappears for a while. He's always been that kind of a person. But anyway, he is going to be here somehow, whether we have it, somehow the magic of this digital platform we're on is going to make it possible for him to talk. And, because Mr. Ray Cotolo is here, also because he has his own connection to the, journalism business. You're going to teach journalism at, aren't you going to teach, you're going to tutor? What is this, a tutor and teaching?
I got offered a tutor. Oh, thank you for giving me the mic. It's so generous of you.
Okay, that's it for Ray. He's not on anymore. You know, when you're a dad, here's what you have to do. You have to assert yourself. Let's not play this game here. Let's be professional like we are in other times and places.
For the people who don't know, you're introducing me and you're leaving no room for me to come in and talk.
It wasn't time for you to talk. I moved away so that you could talk now. We did do this arguing off, you know, that's what's great about this show though, isn't it? There's no stone left unturned.
What does that mean?
What was I saying? You're going to teach journalism?
I don't know if I am. I got offered a tutoring position. It pays seven.
Don't tell people what it pays.
Okay, it pays enough.
$72 an hour, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's it. Okay.
And that's my base price. I don't know what else, like, I don't know what else there is to talk about.
Well, the idea is this, that I've been...
Well, what does this have to do with anything?
Well, because I taught you journalism, and then you learned it, the rest of it. I started being your teacher, and then you learned from other people.
Then you gave up.
Well, you were a quick learner, and you had to know only fundamental things so that the teachers that you had in the social structure of school, you could know that they were all wrong, and I was right. So that's why I had to do that before that happened. But Ray is here with us, and we're going to talk with the Dusty about a couple of things. Some of it's creative, but also we're going to try and make this Kentucky Derby experience. And this is what I always said when he was on in the past. I said, let's not get too technical. There's people out there really don't care about the most powerful 2 minutes, the most strongest 2 minutes, the most exciting 2 minutes.
That's that one. The most powerful 2 minutes.
Powerful 2 minutes in
when those
sports.
Horses run around the track, it powers Louisville for a year.
Look what you do.
I know. Well, no, because you have it up so
I
high.
Know. I'm sorry. So anyway, yeah, it's that, that familial, camaraderie. So when I was, so don't go running away because you said, oh, I do my life,
Peter, ASPC.
Don't be like that. Okay. Be like this. Say, look, you know, it's going to be, on the telly and you can watch it on the telly.
Be that guy that says the telly too.
You'll be on the telly and you could watch it. And then if you know certain people, you can have a party, have a whole bunch of people together. Not, oh, oh, Jesus geez, Christ.
I fell over this chair.
Wow. Ow. Okay, hold on. We have to call a doctor. No. Wow, that was...
Every moment in radio can be a sudden moment.
See, that's it. Now, you know, if this was like one of those podcasts...
And you see why I shouldn't have to lean?
One of those anal retentive people, they would have went like, we're going to go back and cut that. We got to cut that. There's no possible way we can do that. Look at it. We even clipped. We clipped the sound of things. And he said... Jesus Christ. We want you all to just enjoy. If you watch the thing, you know, you can have a party and you could, people could bet against one another or you could go to one of the many.
Could beat each
no,
other.
No, don't go anywhere in many. You could go join up at twinspires.com. A wonderful, this way you can get an account and then you can play all sorts of horse races. But you certainly can play that horse race on that day and then watch it on the telly. And you can watch it because, you know, there's a whole new world. In the old days, I mean, I go back so far that this is how far back I go. I watched it in black and white on television and there were no phones or anything. The only place you could see it was on that one channel on the telly.
Wow.
That was it. There were no phones. There were no interwebs.
That's incredible.
So, so there's so many ways you could do this on that phone. But anyway, Dusty, who is a journalist of many proportions, not just sports.
Oh, is that what he does?
Yes, he's a journalist and he's a teacher.
He's
a teacher, a journalist, and
the segue makes sense.
And a part-time bandage salesman. So, no, he doesn't sell bandages. I don't even know how we're going to get him here. We had this, oh God, we tried to set this thing up. He has problems with his,
life.
I don't know. He says he's online, but he's not online. We're going to try everything we can. What you do need to do is, do me a favor, right? Oh no, wait, we'll wait. When it's time, you'll go get the phone. Wait, let's keep it charged as far as much as we can. As I tell everybody before you're gonna fall, are you?
No.
That was exciting though, wasn't it? It was a moment of like unexpected action. You know, that's
a
what's
surprise.
Great. So it's great about live. Speaking about live, if you're listening on the live stream and you know that, because there was nowhere else you could hear this show. I don't know what it is, but I'm getting this Ari Melbert approach.
It's not like you watch him every night.
I wonder, like he can't shave. He shaves and then I noticed that he needs to shave again by the time he's on. Okay.
Great detail.
I forget about that. So,
This is the last show for Frank Catolo.
No, I was doing six things at once. I always, what I was going to say was this. Here's the deal. The deal is, we got lots of shows coming up here this summer and it's starting to get hot all of a sudden. You know, we're sitting here cold rain. We got knocked out through the winter a couple of times. From servers went down and zeros and ones got all screwed up. All sorts of things happened. But we are here and we're going to be here, hopefully. Now, there's other stuff going to happen over the next couple of weeks. And I'll tell you about that some other time. I don't want to talk about that. I want to tell you to do this. We're going to do a whole bunch of things over. Well, so stay with us over the – I do want – here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you. Thank you for the emails and continue to send in the show that you want to hear that you never heard. You could do that again. People are liking this and this is what we're doing. I'll do half a live show and some of the show will be a portion of a show that I can't do again because I can't repeat these things. There are no scripts. But people have asked me, what about this show? Do you ever do a show on this? Do you ever do a show on that? And yes, we have. And well, here's what you do. You go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. To the left, you will see a list of years. Those are not all the years we were on, because we started before anyone, and there weren't even ways to get us. We started before no one knew it was difficult, and before ABC said things like, yeah, we want the internet too, all right? Screw them. So here's the deal. You go there and you go through those. You click like 2005, you know, and then you'll see on the page, on the blog, what we did that month, that year, and it'll say, oh, look, you did a show with, I don't know, whoever it was, this guy and that guy, yeah, or you did a show about the Bengal Tigers. Not the Detroit Tigers, not baseball, but Bengal Tigers. Yes. You did a show about Joe Federico? Don't even know him, right? Yeah, that's a one of popular show. That's a one of popular show. You did a show about the Mafia? Yeah. You did a show about Brooklyn? Yeah. You did a show, yeah, all those things. You did a show about being in intensive care in the hospital? Yeah. All of those.
Are you just going to name shows you've done for the rest of the hour?
I'm saying that those shows are there, and you could send it to me and go, hey, on 2006 in April, you did a show on what it's like to almost die in a hospital. So please play that again. So you write to me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. I'll find a place to put that show. Because we're not jumping the shark here. We're just getting very, very old. And the times are just, they're not changing. They'll never change. They just go on and on and on. But if you want to do that and then tell your friends and then they'll tell their friends and they'll bring their pets over. And I don't care if you listen with your clothes, without your clothes, whatever you do. Just do it. And I'll play it. A lot of good, you know, it's all original. And before anybody did it. So you're really like you're reaching your hand into the library of the past. And the original internet talk radio, because we go back as far as then. So do that, send it in, and there'll still be a lot of great shows and a lot of great guests. And we're hoping that most of the guests that we've lost guests through the years, I don't mean they've died, I mean that we have missed them. We people stray and go and do this and do that, and even in this global world of communications, you do lose track of people. So we're going to try and get some of our regulars back and then do other stuff also. Now, here's what I'm thinking. Look, I'm thinking that I don't see him answering. We had a Skype problem, and I don't know about this. Anybody out there knows about this, because I don't know why. Mr. Dusty Nathan has XM? No, what do I keep saying XM? What is it?
That's Sirius XM.
What is it?
Windows XP.
Windows XP. Do you know, there are people out there still running Windows XP? I don't know. But
I think the government runs on XP.
The government still runs on XP?
Hospitals do.
Wow. Yeah, well then they don't use Skype. Why can't he use Skype on XP? Skype was bought by who? Microsoft?
Yeah.
Okay. And then they updated all sorts of stuff, and then what? And then they didn't allow it to go onto certain platforms?
I think only on his computer. They have something against him.
I don't know. I don't know anybody else who has XP, so I can't say that.
Well, XP should work. Just period.
And we see him here.
Call him.
On our Skype. Let's... No, we don't want to call him yet. Well, yeah, we should try. Let's do that and just see. And we'll get... Let's see if we can get in touch with him. Let's see if he, this would be, you know, because he didn't write to me that it works. So I think we're going to have to use the phone and make some kind of contraption that connects the phone.
That sounds like this it's going to be. He's not, there's no sound.
Hello?
No, it should be going beep, beep.
It should be going beep, beep. It's not even calling, huh?
No.
Why on earth would it show that somebody is online on a Skype if he doesn't have a connection?
Maybe the Croatians hacked it.
Look at that. It says no answer. No answer. Answer? Damn, I'm going back to Brooklyn. No answer. Answer.
No answer here.
You know what? Go get the phone. This is going to be fun anyway. We're going to get the phone, and we're going to try to hook him up through our phone. Now, we used to be able to do some phone guests when we had the Yakahamahamayaka connection phone system, which was given to us by our fans in Japan, because in Yokohama, we were the biggest show at one time. I don't know what they do in Yokohama now, but Cotolo Chronicles was a huge show. Huge show. But we don't have that anymore. Now we use a regular phone there's no output to this phone, so I can't hook it into the, it's amazing. Bless you.
Hey.
How the VTech, I want to tell you something, you VTech phone. Says 6 missed calls. There's no missed calls. That's amazing. This whole thing is crappy. It's amazing. And there's no, look, there's nothing. I thought it had, anyway, the Yokohama Hamayoka business, they went out of business, you know, but they sent us this phone and it worked with our mixer because we never went the full digital, on this show. We're always half analog, half digital. And that was that. So here's what we're going to do. Okay, you're getting that mic.
Yeah.
We're going to try to work this out so that Mr. Nathan can hear us, and you will hear him over the phone. Where's the speaker to this? Do you see it? I don't even see it.
The speaker's on the front.
Where? Right there. That's the speaker?
Yeah.
So if we do this, we do what? This? How are we going to do this?
Okay, so
I'm going to talk into here?
No.
To do this, there was no reason to set this up before because we couldn't. We had a problem with that. Okay, so we're going to put this on the.
This is going to be the one that Dusty's talking.
This is going to be Dusty. So we're going to put this in here, and Dusty is going to get connected. What's that? What's the matter? What are you doing?
I'm just weaving this so we don't trip over.
Okay, Dusty, this microphone, a regular. Okay, where is it? Okay, a regular microphone here is going to go into this telephone. And we'll be talking so he can hear us. Look, we're not... we're digital giants, aren't we? Now, this here is coming up. Now, why don't we put it over here? We could do it this way. Or we could do it like this.
Yeah.
Then everybody could hear everyone. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Look, you people out there.
What do you think?
We have a sound crew?
I turned the mics off so you wouldn't pick up the moving
sound. This takes me back to like 1999 when we used to have to do this.
Wow, what a year.
With the phone. Now we're not going to tell you his number because we don't want people calling it up. You know, I'm going to call him. Oh, look at this. It came right off the little piece of top to the.
Oh, they know exactly what you're talking about.
Man, the top, what is this called anyway?
The fuzzy. I call it a fuzzy.
Oh, it's not a fuzzy. Oh, look at this. It's falling now. By the way, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. You know, sometimes we sound like we're still the first ever talk show on internet radio because we do things like kids. When kids, you know, when we were kids and we wanted to play gladiators.
This is what the rest of the show is going
to
be about.
We
played
gladiators. We used to get orange crates and you take the slate from the orange crate, and then you'd cut one of it in half so you got a handle, and we would make a point to it. We would cut it so that it had a point, and we'd have swords.
Can you do me a favor?
What?
You can keep talking about this. Give me the headphones.
Why?
I want to make sure there's no feedback.
Oh, okay. No feedback. This is going to be now he's talking like a person who knows his sound techno. Oh.
Well, no, there's no feedback. We're good. Because
would there have been already?
Well, no, just because there's two mics here, I want to make sure that there wasn't any kind of delay overlay.
Now, if you're going to talk alone, I'll just be able to like move up. Will I just be able to move out of the way here? Okay, and then you'll be okay. You're not going to fall again.
As long as you don't make me lean.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to make you lean. That's what I mean. You could do that. Okay, I've got the number here. Let's call.
Wait. Look.
What? It does? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Hold on a second. Yes.
This might have just been a waste of time.
I see your name. Answer. Here, let's try. Let's call him. Oh, no. Now he's going to be a bear.
Well, then I can fix it. But...
Okay, hold on. Let me call you and see him. And let's see. Look at this. This is crazy.
Let's see if it beeps.
It's not beeping.
No, it's not going to beep.
No. Okay, the chat works,
Yeah,
that's it. Okay.
Wait, no, but click the chat part.
What?
The chat bubble. But
does the phone work too and the cam? No, just the text. Yeah.
He might
phone
not
doesn't
have
connect. Yeah, phone doesn't connect, see?
Call him.
I'm going to call him and see what. Okay, let me call this number here right now. Da 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 da. Okay.
555-632.
If I dialed the wrong one, some jerk's going to answer it.
We didn't put it on speaker.
Where? There is no speaker.
Yeah, there is.
No.
Wait, are you sure?
Yeah.
How are we going to hear him?
By here. Here.
Oh,
don't
you'll,
you see?
You'll be able to hear him.
Who's hearing who? Good evening.
Can you hear us?
I can hear both of you.
Well, that's interesting because Frank was the only one that talked.
I can't hear you. We can't both hear you.
Oh no, I can hear him.
Is
very
he loud
dimly.
Now? He's dim. Why is he so low?
Because it's
of
not
this?
Speaking. It's
hold
not
on,
the speaker
on.
Part.
Hold on. Hold on. You said that was a speaker.
Yeah, no, I'm saying but
oh,
like it,
boy.
It needs to be you need to turn the volume up.
Well how?
Like
here goes.
Wait, let's see if that
let's see.
Let's see if that's
you there?
Yeah, you guys are breaking up though.
What?
You guys are breaking up.
We're breaking up. You bet. We can't hear you. Hold on. Give me this a second here.
Oh, wow. It's so dim.
It's so dim.
Hold on.
The phone is so dim. We can put this on as loud as we possibly can.
Yeah, it doesn't go up anymore. And why is there no speaker?
Huh?
Why is there no speaker?
There
phone?
Is a speaker.
No, because like when you get with landlines, they have a speakerphone option.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you guys loud and clear.
Okay. I got him on. Okay.
Do we call him off my phone?
No, how is your phone? Oh, maybe we can.
Yes.
Hold on. Yeah, can you hang up a second?
We can hang up.
What? We're going to call you on another phone.
Okay.
Now, a lot of you might not understand what's going on here, but this is digital. This is a new digital world of, yeah, and I forgot about the thing with this. We don't have another set of headphones. Oh, that's good. Man,
yeah,
where is it?
Now we need to position it.
Where is it?
Good evening.
Yeah, there you. That's it.
How you guys doing? Oh, I put a little promo on Facebook page.
I saw it.
David Reese, who never is online, it seems like he gave it a like. So
David has been on the show without you and with you.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of interesting, you know, he took over some wrestling organization. Professional.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the commissioner of it or something. I'm not sure what.
Well, they got a good leader then because those guys are out of their mind.
Right?
Absolutely. Ray, I insisted you join in on this conversation tonight.
Well, you're the only reason I'm here, Dusty.
But what I want to know is this. How many sons do you have, Frank?
Hmm? What?
How many times a year do you have, Frank?
What?
No, how many sons do you have?
Two.
Many.
Two, okay. So you have one named Jack also, right?
That's right, Jack also. That's his middle name also. Yes, Jack
also.
Jack and Ray.
The reason I asked this, who's the older of the two?
Jack.
Right?
Jack is who used to talk on your show.
That's what I'm asking. Okay, so Jack is older by how many years?
Wow.
Seven.
Seven.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a big... Yeah, I didn't realize how bad.
I think it's seven. It's not
I see
six.
Ray's name all the time because he enters these national contests and does pretty well.
Well, you know more about this than I do.
No, aren't you doing a lot of handicapping contests and different things?
I do... Well, I did the Hannah one, and I did very poorly. That's the only one I've done.
I don't follow it that close. I just saw your name in the top 10. So
yeah, that was 10th of 10.
Dusty's one of those people. Dusty, you're one of those people, and I know a lot of people, they're not dual digitals. You don't do Twitter.
I do Twitter.
What are you talking about? How come we don't?
I just got off Twitter. I was tweeting a moment ago.
I don't have your Twitter account then.
Then you don't have it. You want the name on it?
Well, that's how I get it. Well, just go. Why don't you just ask me? Just find me at Frank Cotolo. I'm simple.
Hold on a second.
What are you, like Mr. Writer? You still?
No.
I didn't think you had that, because, you know, we're all starting to hate Facebook anymore, no, right?
I'm at DJ Destmon. That's DJ Destmon.
What? D?
What did I stutter? Hold on a minute.
Dust?
Frank? Huh?
At what?
Frank?
What?
Cotolo. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
D-O.
His handle's at Frank Cotolo. That's what he's saying.
No, that's my
handle. C-O-L-O. Hold on a second. Frank Cotolo at Frank Cotolo. Hold on. Now I'm going to friend you. It's DJ Destmon.
Oh, I got you. DJ Destmon.
DJ.
Is that M-O-N or M-A-N?
Hold on a minute. You know, I'm going to tweet to you right now.
Yeah, but I'm not on. This is a radio first.
After all this, you're not on.
Well, no, I was just asking you. We could do that later. Just tell me where you're on, and you'll get me, and I'll accept you later as a follower.
I'm DJ Destmon,
M-O-N. Oh, M-O-N. That's what I asked. Okay, Destmon.
Destmon, as in Jamaican. DJ Destmon.
I got you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'll find you there. I was wondering, because I don't remember you ever being on Twitter.
I've been on Twitter for years.
Yeah.
I'm one of the...
No, you're
I
not.
Mean,
I am.
I was tweeting, years.
Listen.
I'm there. This, I am absolutely...
Okay, I agree. I believe you. I just want to make one thing clear. This show introduced Twitter to the world. Okay.
Right. POTUS, I tweet daily.
Okay, so I'm going to get a hold of you, and we're gonna write very weird things to one another, I'm sure.
Oh, good.
All right.
Good. Yeah, I like that idea. I like to tweet.
So I don't know why it works. Why, you know, you came up on the Skype, and yet you can't get the phone work.
I'll tell you why. This has been the problem. I just downloaded something. I was telling you the other night. Just a second. Downloaded something called Skype Web Plugin. Okay. Publisher Microsoft Corporation. I clicked the run button. And it's something to do with Chrome, Google Chrome, and whatever. It wouldn't run.
So you screwed it up then. You screwed it.
It didn't run. No. So in other words, I guess I can.
Yes.
I can't do the phone part. So I guess I can IM with it.
Okay. Whatever, you're going to figure that out one way or another.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm IMing you.
Where?
Right now, just now, on
he's you.
On Skype.
Oh, okay, he's yeah, you. It says I'm you. It says I'm you right there, I guess.
I'm you. I mean, I'm IMing you is what I meant. Okay, so...
So let's forget about that and move on to what we're doing here on this on
this. Are you
sure
this is really riveting right now?
Is it? This is.
No, listen to this though. And
what?
This is something I just now discovered tonight because there's this. well, it doesn't matter why, but you know, we were talking about TV and how we don't watch it the other night.
Right.
You and I.
Right.
And you know, there are a lot of different apps on the Comcast. Like just now. I discovered, you know, I hit the phaser and I went like this, music, because I thought it was going to take me up to that, you know, the group of music channels we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, it started to show me all sorts of radio stations around the world.
Right.
In fact, they have the entire iHeartRadio.
You see?
So I could listen to DC 101 right now.
It's amazing because this is one of the reasons radio is dying too, because radio used to be local. That was the idea, was radio was local, right? We have radio here. Now you can listen to everybody anywhere.
Anywhere. In fact, I didn't even know these apps were on television. In other words, I said music, I was going to go to those music channels that everybody pays for but never listens to. You know, just have it on in the background. Yeah. And when I said music, all these different things like iHeartRadio appeared,
yeah.
These different apps, and I was listening to iHeartRadio when you called home. Let me hit music again and tell you which ones are on there. Music.
He's going to tell us now which one you are. What are you doing?
No, you love this.
You're doing an ad. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're already buying this, if you know it or not. I didn't know it until just now. Pandora. iHeartRadio, YouTube.
Wait, Dusty. What year is your TV?
It's a brand new TV with
Okay, that's why, because those smart TVs have those apps. They aren't a part of your cable subscription.
They're in my cable. They're in this Comcast.
If you
hit your phaser, and you know how you can talk into it, and you know, like it's a Siri type, of, you know, and you go, music, okay. Well, I'm telling you what's on there. Not just music choice, which we all knew was up there, but now they have concerts, Stingray karaoke, whatever that is, Music Choice, that's those stations, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Pandora, all included.
Forget the Kentucky Derby at this rate.
Wait a second, this is on...
Exactly.
This is on...
This
is on the Comcast menu, you're saying?
I think with X1.
If you say the words, it's not on the regular menu.
I don't say words. I don't talk to my TV. I can't talk to my TV.
If you talk into your phaser and say music.
What phaser?
He has X1.
Oh, I don't have that. I don't have it.
What do you mean you don't have it?
I don't have it. I have the 3-in-1 Comcast thing, you know? It's like it takes care of my phone, my internet, and my TVs. That's it.
And your batteries.
Well, I don't have it.
Not on this one.
iHeartRadio, listen to what's on there. Z100. Hold on. Z100, Kiss 102.7 FM, V103 in Chicago, Wild 94.9, Q102 in Philly, Power 96.1, iHeart Country.
Power 96.1? Hold on. They have Power 96.1?
They're all on here.
Well, Comcast should.
Fun.
Yeah, well,
you know, go to the Pandora. I'm looking right now for the first time. All the artists. Like,
this is not an advertisement. This is not an advertisement.
They have their own channel.
It'll be the Preakness at this rate.
I love this. I actually do like this.
Do you like
this
that?
I don't care.
When
people find out, and they're going to find out through this show tonight. It's going to finish off music sales.
You need a show. We got to get you your own show.
What? We're breaking some ground right now. I want to say why.
Go ahead.
Right now, we're telling the world, right now, people in Tokyo, people in London are listening to the fact that we in Pennsylvania get iHeartRadio on our television. And they never knew it because they never said the word music into their phaser.
Wow.
But not those people in Saskatchewan. They don't know anything about this.
Them too. Do they speak English? Those are the ones that go, hey. I don't even think they listen
to
me.
Hey, don't make fun of Canada. This whole thing runs through Canada. We're Canadian here.
Well, right. I love Canada.
Yeah, we
actually
love.
I've been there many times. They're nice people.
Oh, he's doing Trump right now.
Huh?
You were just doing Trump. I've been to Canada. All nice people. Great people.
Give some shout-outs before we do the trivia.
I think we should. Go ahead, because you do the shout-outs.
Okay, I'm going to do some shout-outs, and that way, you know, if they listen now or later, they got a little shout-out. So let's give some out. Let's shout-out to Jack Cotolo.
Okay.
I'm going to shout. Now you shout at somebody, and then I'm going to shout. So.
I thought this was part of the deal.
Shout at you in a second.
Ramsey. I want to shout out to Debbie Dawn, David Reese, Monica McCarthy. Go ahead.
Nelson Mandela, if he's listening. He can't listen. He's gone, right?
Jack. late David Bowie. I want to say hello to Hendrix. Sinatra, Presley.
No, come on. And why don't you say some? This will be a good bridge into the talk about the Derby. Why don't you say? Why don't you shout out to some of the people you know or have met because you've been a journalist? Drop some names, okay?
I want to shout out to Rich Orban, who I really love. He used to be the president and GM of Garden State Park,
right.
And he's one of my newer Facebook friends because he's not online a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you remember Alvaro Pineda?
Yes.
Well, his wife, Donna, is one of my good Facebook friends, and she's one of my newer ones. I found her about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and Donna is a regular, you know what I mean, regular Facebook friend. You know, someone I talk to regularly on there every day. And her husband was probably in one of the most tragic accidents in the history of racing. You remember the horse reared up in the gate at Santa Anita?
What year was that?
about 69 or 70. He was already, he had risen to like the top of the jockey ranks, you know, over Don Pierce and, right. and Bill Shoemaker and Jerry Lambert and that great colony of jockeys, Fernando Toro, the original one.
Mm.
And, you remember all those guys.
Toro on the, Toro on the turf. But listen, I don't remember that.
Toro on the turf, the original Fernando Toro.
That accident, I don't remember that accident, I seriously don't.
Yeah, he died, the horse reared up in the starting gate at Santa Anita. He was either the leading jockey or second behind Shoemaker. And he was only 21 or 22. In other words, he was very young. And he had risen right up the, you know, right up the ladder from, he came in from Tijuana. Well, so he was racing down in, at Caliente on weekends and what have you.
And who are you shouting out to? His wife?
Yeah, his wife, Donna.
Okay.
He died around, you know, 30, 40 years ago, but I mean, his wife is still, I don't think she ever remarried. You know, she's still,
single is the
word. You know, she still keeps, his fans, you know what I mean, notified on things about him. Now, listen to this freak thing.
Go.
His brother, his, I think it was his brother, died the exact same way 2 years later at Pimlico.
Wow.
It runs in the family.
We judging, you mean in the...
In the starting gate at Pimlico, his baby brother, died the exact same way.
Well, that's the improbability, quote.
That's the danger of racing.
It is. It's a,
All right. Well, since you segued, you want to get this out of the way. Let's do it. How do you want to do it? I'm going to give a pick. Do you guys have a program or a form in front of you so we can follow along together?
Yeah, I have a form. Ray just ran off to the bathroom, but we do have a form, so we could go through that. But
let's
remember.
Just go from the top down and spend most of the time talking about the real contenders. I'll intro the race though for your listeners, because I know you like to maybe, you know, burp them a little bit with this, because this is not the normal format of your show. So it's a 1.25-mile horse race in Kentucky, the first Saturday of every year, and it's the premier horse race for 3-year-olds in the world. Or we, you know, we think so anyway. At least in, you know, North America. But we consider it the premier horse race. So it's run at 1.25. None of these horses have ever run that far before. And this year, the purse is $2 million. So the winner will get... I think about $1.2 million, which is quite a bit of money, but not really, because a lot of these horses cost that much money. So anyway, can we start?
I guess so. I'm Frank now.
I'm going to just comment, and anybody who wants to make a comment on any horse, just please. Okay, the one horse, Ferenz Fire.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he was precocious as a 2-year-old, but... He's really,
fast?
Going back.
Oh, backwards, yes.
Everybody agree with that?
I mean, if he's not going to be the fastest horse of all time, then yes, I agree.
Yes, and then the rail is awful, you know, at this distance in this field of 20. So I don't really give him any shot at all. He's listed at 50-1. Free Drop Billy, the 2-horse, Robbie Alvarado. He's back with Robbie Alvarado. Now, if you remember... This horse broke his maiden at Churchill Downs.
Okay.
Most of these have never raced here.
Hey, wait, Dust. Oh, I just want to mention this because I did hear this on the Weather Channel. It might be like last year. It could be wet and sloppy. They're getting similar weather as here in the east as the in the northeast.
Oh, it must have
so
changed,
keep that in mind when you're talking about these horses, okay?
I'm glad you mentioned it because I hadn't heard that. So is it officially expected to be wet?
Yes, it is. It is now officially expected.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was wondering where I've heard Dusty's voice before, and he's the voice of the emergency broadcast system.
Yes, you're right. Wow, cool. Okay. Anyway, I want. And I'll tell you why I want to. I mentioned that because I was there last year. I was in Louisville last. I was there at the track.
Were you? I know you've been out there a number of times, but I didn't know you were there last last year.
Yeah, last year. And last year it was off and on rain, but by the time the race went off, the sun had come out, but it was really sloppy. And the three horses from that were, you know, all the way around. Always Dreaming was up there, and that
Battle
other guy,
Midway.
What's his name?
Battle at Midway.
No.
Looking
at Lee was the other one. Yeah
but he wasn't up there all the way. He just rode the rail.
But anyway, talk about you.
I remember the names. There's sort of like 30 names now. You know, a lot of these horses, there's a buildup before the Derby, and then you never really hear from them again. You know,
okay,
what I mean?
So just keep the weather in mind.
That's part of the luster, though.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I hadn't really considered a wet track, so you know, I'm okay. Let's get on with the pre-drop Billy, the two horse. Alvarado won with this horse at Churchill, and the horse was very precocious. Also, as a two-year-old, he won He won the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, and he was competitive at Saratoga in the Hopeful. And in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he didn't race well, but he was only 7-1. The point I'm making is, I think he's too slow, and but he is back with his rider, and he's a $200,000 yearling. He's been on the board 7 of 8, so I'm not going to say just dump this horse, because in wagers where you're looking also for a third, fourth, or fifth horse, I can see this horse getting in there for fourth or fifth. I just don't see him winning.
I feel like he's going to be a popular one in that respect, also because his next-door neighbor is going to basically be the rabbit for him to try and drag him into the pace, because that's the only way this horse is going to get into it, is if there is a pace for him to get suctioned into.
Oh, so if he leaves out with Promises Fulfilled, you mean?
He doesn't necessarily have to leave out, but he could just sit off of Promises Fulfilled.
Okay. Well, you know, Promises Fulfilled, you make a good point. He's got to be in front for 6.5 or 7 furlongs here. Although, I don't think he's going to live. However, if you look at that March 3rd race down in Florida at Gulfstream Park,
mm-hmm.
He was 18-1, and it was the Fountain of Youth. He surprised everybody that day going wire to wire. Mm-hmm. Now, this horse will be 20 or 30-1. He's going to be loose on the lead. When I say loose, you know, he'll be in front by a length and a half. That's what he usually is in front. He's never in front by 6. He's always in front by a length. But if he were to get brave, this horse would light the board up. I'm not suggesting to bet him. I'm just saying he's going to be alone on the lead, probably.
Well, the problem, though, is that in the Fountain of Youth, he had a really slow pace on the lead. He basically stole that race, because when he got the faster pace in the Florida Derby, he totally tanked.
He did, but he did lead for, you know, 3/4 or whatever. But you're right. I don't think he's going to be able to wire these horses. I think he'll be in front until somebody challenges him.
He could very well make the race interesting, but then again, interesting could play into the hands of the big chalks.
Yeah, and I don't really think the deep closers are fast enough, but let's get to them one by one. Let's go to Flame Away.
He's interesting.
Here's my quick thought on him. He is decent, but he's cheap and slow compared to these, although he was a $400,000 yearling.
I mean, he's bred more for the turf, but his last few races aren't terrible.
They're not. He gets money. I mean, he's been first or second 7 times, but against a notch less.
I mean, he was still second to Good Magic last out, albeit second to Quip in the Tampa Bay Derby. That last race in particular is much improved from his Tampa Bay Derby performance, even though he finished second.
Absolutely. And, you know, last year in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf against Mendelsohn, this horse was prominent, you know. But you notice that was his only Grade 1 race,
mm-hmm.
and that was his worst race, meaning I don't think this horse has the heart of a Grade 1 or a Grade 1A, especially a race like this, is even higher than Grade 1. I don't think he's got the heart for these type of horses, to match up with these guys.
I'd argue that his worst race was the Iroquois, and that's what worries me more, because that was at Churchill Downs. And he was totally awful, but he also wasn't on the lead, and that's his prerogative.
And he's not going to, and that's another thing. He likes to leave, and he's never going to make the lead against the 3-year, although he may sit next to the 3.
Yeah, he could sit next to him, and in that respect, he's definitely worth using in exotics.
I don't like him, but you know what? Anybody who suggests using a certain 30-1 can never get an A from me, because that's where you make the money.
Well,
so you know what I mean. If you like a horse like this, you want to use him.
Well, there's one horse in particular I like that we're going to come up to later on, but then we got to get to Audible. I tell you, you have no opinion.
I'm fine.
Oh, all right. Okay. Frank's fine.
I'll kick in.
Okay. He'll kick in when he does. Audible.
Jump in.
I will.
He's going to do it on his own terms. Audible.
Go ahead, Ray. You want to talk about the pilot?
This is one of those, well, I should say firstly that with Todd Pletcher last year, the track was clearly playing for speed and for the rail, and I was too stubborn to even consider Always Dreaming, even though that's his trip, and he got the trip, he won the race, and so I'm feeling that way again with Audible, except he's gonna be sitting off of the pace, and he very well has the ability to beat these horses, and if he's not the favorite, I could understand betting him to win, but I also just, I just have a grudge. I have a grudge, and that shouldn't necessarily affect how I handicap this horse.
I saw Always Dreaming. When he won, he went right by me.
Okay.
Because I had great seats. I saw him win, and he went right by me. That was last year.
So what does Always Dreaming have to do with Audible? You lost me here.
I'm saying in the Pletcher respect. I have a grudge with Pletcher horses.
Okay.
But
only comment on Audible is, you know, he had that one race last September, that maiden race, which was like he got away poorly, but he did close in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
But after that race, he never lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he's won, you know, under Death Grips. He's just destroyed everybody he's faced since that first race when he didn't break well in a sprint. Okay, he's a $500,000 colt. I want to say this. He's a New York bred, the only New York bred winner. Here's a trivia, and Frank knows all trivia. Frank knows all trivia.
It was that
Frank
Gelder.
Is
the New York.
Funny side?
Hey, I could get Frank on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and be his partner.
See? I am. I'm real good at that.
I'll tell you something.
Go ahead.
He knows things no one has ever even thought of thinking about.
You're right.
Anyway, my point is, tell me the only other New York
funny side.
That's won the
Derby. Funny side.
Funny side.
Okay, so you knew that, both of you. All right.
You said
anyway,
gelding.
This is not a bad colt. This is a $500,000 colt from a top barn, from a top stable, and a top rider, Castellano. And he's, other than that sprint when he didn't break well, he's never lost. I mean, he just jogs. Having said all that, I'm really not a fan of this horse. But he's working well. There's a lot of good things about this horse. But it's a very deep field, and I'm not going to pick him. How about you guys?
I'm like I said, if Justify is a big enough favorite that Audible is 10-1, I would not argue you betting this horse to win.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue if someone likes the horse at all. I mean, this is a very deep field. That's, you know, what's interesting about this particular Derby.
What does?
There are many, many horses with an opportunity that could win. I mean, there's three or four that are undefeated. This horse is almost undefeated. Should be. If he hadn't broken poorly in that sprint. And let's move on. Good Magic.
I love Good Magic.
Wait, you do?
I do. I always, yes, I have. I watch this horse in every, you never love a horse, Stan Bergstein told me. And I don't. I don't love horses.
I had a
what
big
I mean
grudge
is,
with this horse.
The thing is about this horse is that he's not a proven loser because he hasn't raced that much. And he just seems to have that generic style of the, they go wire to wire or else there's always those horses that are right by there. And you know, Always mm-hmm. Dreaming did not go wire to wire.
Darn close.
And the land, so there aren't a lot of, but I think this horse is, good, and he'll also be a great price. If this horse was a favorite, I wouldn't like him, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree with the price.
You know, this horse has been a price two or three. I just want to point a couple things out. He's never been off the board. He's a $1 million Keeneland yearling. Those are tremendous things. He comes from a 32% winning barn, Chad Brown.
Mostly
he
on the turf.
He does have a 100 buyer, which is important. There's only about five horses in here who have gone better than 100 or better. Good Magic is one of them. He totes that very, very, good Ortiz jockey, and you know, both Ortiz brothers are in this race. This horse won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile by the length of the stretch at 11-1, and he's going to go up at 11-1 again in here. So, you know, it's sort of crazy because he's well bred, curling and all. Again, he's not my pick, but How could you knock it if someone did love this horse?
Well, again, he's going to be value, no doubt, especially given his last few starts. But the one thing is that that bluegrass race, he seemed a little extended, and that kind of worries me because he's going to go longer this time, and he's going to need more. But if he gave most of his all in the bluegrass, then...
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
Well, this really got me last time. This horse, when he won... I saw the race he won. I don't know which
one. The bluegrass.
Was that the bluegrass?
Or, unless you're talking about the juvenile.
No, most recent race,
bluegrass.
Right? And when he wins it, and I think it was, what's their names? Bailey and who's the other? And what's his name? I forgot his name. Not Lafitte. The middle guy. Who's the middle guy's name? The bald guy. What's his name again?
Oh. He was...
You there, Duff?
I'm here, but I don't know who you're talking about.
Anyway, when on the broadcast... This horse wins, and all of the guys, like they knew anything, went like, yeah, you know, that really wasn't the win I expected. We thought he'd do much more. We thought
he'd
be...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, wait a second. I'm not with these guys.
I don't know who you mean.
The
only person I watch in horse racing is Dave Weaver.
So Bailey and the other guy...
Oh, yeah. I know who you mean.
And
the guy with the blue eyes and he's got a shaven head.
Yeah, he does that
He looks like he's from another planet.
He does that pace. Yeah, Bailey does. Yeah, Bailey definitely.
You know what? If I look like Jerry Bailey, I would sue my obstetrician. I mean, something happened with the forceps when he was coming out of the uterus.
But he's with Bob.
Look at that head of his, how it's extended. And it looks like, you know, whenever they show people from on Mars that are talking to, you know, Americans, they're always like these big shadowy things with, you know, big eyes and a big head.
Yeah.
He's got that big Martian head.
But here's what the Martian head, and here's what they were all saying. And this horse wins, and they're like, oh boy, you know, he should have won better. And they had this opinion, and they didn't give one stitch of evidence as to what this opinion meant. It was like, and everybody was going, yeah, we thought he'd really move away from these. We thought he'd really, and I hate that crap. I hate that kind of talk where they think they know something, they don't give any evidence, and then they make this opinion that makes no sense.
Well,
it's just
generally speaking, they're always on the talk.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. They're always on the, you know, Justifies is undefeated.
God.
You can see this. They're going to have to beat him to beat me. Whatever. Anyway, getting back to Good Magic, I want to make one more point why he's not my pick.
Okay.
And I think it's a big point. Every time this horse wins, and he's only won twice, he reacted, he bounced in his next start. Now, take a look. He won that big race at Del Mar and came back at 3-5 the following March, which was, you know, quite a few weeks later. A few months later, and he came back third and flat. Now, in his first start, in that win, he didn't win his next start. Now, he's coming off this win, which is a big number again, 95. See, his three numbers were in the 80s. Then he ran the big number. In the juvenile, he ran that 100 and bounced. I wouldn't say he bounced because there was that time gap, but, you know, he didn't come back right. Well, anyway, then he went in 95. I think he's going to react again. That's a big number, that 95. And Ray already said he didn't really look good in the stretch going that extra distance. And that 150 is not impressive, even though the buyer number is a decent number.
Well, I'll argue the contrary to what you're saying. He had two starts before the juvenile when he put up his biggest number. He has two starts before coming into this race. And the only difference is he won his prior starts. So you could argue the opposite of that, where it's now he's making his third start. He's going to be tuned up.
Maybe. No, I'm not going to, there's nothing etched in stone here. You make a good point. The point you're making is, in his third start of his life as a two-year-old, he ran his best race, and this is the third start of his three-year-old. I guess that's your point, right?
Yeah.
So it's a valid point. He ran his best race in his third start. Okay.
All right.
The other side of what I'm saying, yeah. I mean, you know, what I'm saying is just conversation. It's not etched in stone. We're talking about animals in a race.
We're talking about animals?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay. Go ahead, justify.
Oh boy, this is the horse I least want to win.
Hey Ray, let's give this to Frank. I'll tell you why it's such a softball.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Huh? Let's give it to Frank.
Okay, all right.
Here we go. We're talking about Justify. Okay. First of all, you got your Bob Baffert guy. And everybody's going to, you know, why do they bet trainers? I don't know. They bet the trainer, and they go, oh, he wins a lot. You got Mike Smith, who, if he was in the room right now, I'd take his head and just throw it. I would unscrew it from his head and throw it. You know, maybe he's a wonderful person, but I'm just about sick of him, you know?
And I think he made one mistake with my horse, Zenyatta.
No, I just don't.
Zenyatta isn't going to win.
You know, the thing is this, you know, star jockeys, these jockeys get on great horses, and then we say they're great jockeys. You know, and I'm sorry.
This could have been Drayton Van Dyke's horse.
And as far as
the ones that win the races and the jockeys are, you know, aboard the steer.
So this guy, Justify has not, he's had three races. He hasn't, you know, he comes into this, and what? I mean, everyone's going to play him.
Everyone, two or three. I mean, if we're going by speed figure, and this horse is
I don't go by.
You mentioned,
I want to take. Listen, no. I want to completely take these speed figures off the table from now on because these are not personal figures, and I guarantee you that Andy Beyer, wherever he is, and I hope he's healthy. Okay, wherever he is these days, he's doing his own. He doesn't even read the ones that are published that everyone has. I don't trust any of these speed numbers. So if he gets a 101 buyer, he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's getting a 101 processed buyer. He's not getting a buyer. And buyers got the real numbers, and everyone should do their own numbers if they want to be serious about it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Now let's get back to this horse. Okay. I heard you can get off the grandstand for, you know.
Thank you. Now you tell me why he stinks.
No. Let's talk about this horse. He is the fastest horse in the race if these speed figures are good. He comes from Baffert's barn. He's a $500,000 yearling. Now, let's talk about, and he's been odds on in every start. In fact, he was 1-20 in the mud in an allowance at Sanity. 1-20.
Okay. I mean, those aren't really great fields, but go on.
Oh, but I'm just saying, he was 1-20 at Santa Anita. That's like 400 or 500,000 to win, probably.
There were five horses, and he was one of them.
Okay. And he was the winner by six lengths, you know, just under a canter. And this horse came in the Santa Anita Derby, and they were still questioning him. He was almost even money, went up 4-5, and he beat a good horse, Bolt the Oro, easily. Now, what are the knocks? This horse here, if he does, you know, he's not seasoned. He's only got the three starts. He didn't race it too.
Oh, you bring up Apollo. You bring up Apollo, aren't you?
Right, exactly. But I'll let you get to that in a minute. I want to make one more point, and then I'm going to stop, and you mention Apollo. I just want to say that if he doesn't break well, and he has issues with that, in a field of 20, this horse could be erased 10 yards out of the gate. Now you talk about Apollo.
I mean, 1882, it was a Saturday, I think. The clouds were rolling in on Louisville, right? It was still in Louisville, cause it's Kentucky. It can't be in like Johannesburg. And there was a horse named Apollo who did not race at 2, but he did at 3, cause that's how he won the Kentucky Derby.
The point is, tell them why you're mentioning Apollo of all horses.
Because in 1882, he was the last horse to not race at 2 and win the Kentucky Derby. And this will be the fifth time of 6,000 you hear it this weekend, probably.
Right. So, you know what? That is a question because seasoning. And, you know, seasoning to me means the experience of being in a bulky field. In other words, is this horse going to be, is he going to shy away from, you know, all, in other words, they're going to try to intimidate him, the other riders, because he is the best horse. So they're going to try to box him. They're going to try to blind switch him. They're going to try to lean on him. And he's always been out near, you know, sitting right second or third, right off the lead. And he's not going to be able to have that perfect trip. He's going to get beaten up.
He loses.
Yeah,
he's seasoned enough to pull them back and take command of these horses. And that's a big question. question mark when you're the chalk. I don't want it.
And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going
to
happen?
I like this horse. I'd love to see him win. You want to know why? Because this is the type of horse that could be a Triple Crown winner if he gets out of this.
After,
he's got to get out of this race.
After he loses.
This race.
After he
loses. This is the race that can beat him. He'll win at Pimlico against 10, 12 horses. He'll destroy them at Pimlico. Can he beat a big field like this?
After he loses, they'll go up to Mike Smith, and he'll make all sorts of excuses, you know, because when he loses, he's just all a loser. I don't know this guy. Why am I being so hard on him?
He always takes the blame. I don't agree with you. He always goes like this.
He goes,
I thought he wasn't himself.
I'm tired of these people. He wasn't himself today. She wasn't herself today. How do you know?
I like how, well, Mick.
Let me tell everybody. Let me just tell everyone. You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. We're in our second hour here. Dusty Nathan is with us. We don't know where he went for those 6 years that he didn't come on here to do this.
He's
back, and we're talking about the Kentucky Derby, and we're being like the real hard-nailed horse players. We're yelling at each other. We're hating people. This is what horse players and handicappers do. We hate people. We have all sorts of...
All we need is TV, and then we can just all stand under it together and yell.
But you're getting here on Cthulhu Chronicles, so you're getting the finest. And if you listen to Dusty and you want to do any... Listen to Dusty... because he's had a number of successes while he's been a guest on this show during the Kentucky Derby. Now back to the show.
Can I talk now? Yeah. Okay. I was going to say that Mick Ruiz famously said that if his horse was at 90% when he won that one race. What was it? I forget the race he won. Or no, he was second. He was like 85% when he was second to McKenzie. So if he has him at least 95%, that horse might be able to win the Kentucky Derby. What would justify what I wanted to say is he got away so scot-free in that Santa Anita Derby that I am not confident in him at all.
That's the point. He is, up to this point, by far the fastest horse in his class. The problem is he's been able to make an easy, great trip for himself. He's not going to be able to make that trip in a 20-horse field like this.
Well, not only that, tell me the last time the Santa Anita Derby went to the half in 47-4. Tell me when. That is a canter.
No, this horse can go as fast as he needs to stay with them. It's just, is he going to have that? There's going to be a lot of horses out there, on the pace. We already said the 3 and 4... are going to be running 1-2 probably out of the gate. So where is the 7 going to be here? He's not going to have that easy sitting, second over astride the 3. So where is he
going to
be?
He's going to be losing. He's going to be losing.
No. If he sits 6th or 7th in between horses and comes out of this race winning by 3 lengths, I'm going to say it right now, he will win the Triple Crown.
I said that about Olive another, too.
If this horse here gets a bad trip and draws away, like he's been drawing away, he will win the Triple Crown. He'll be 1-9 in the Belmont.
Unlike American Pharoah.
No, this is a deep field we're talking about. If this horse can survive this race... This non-racing 2-year-old, this late bloomer who's a late foal, if he gets out of this race in Louisville, he's going to piss on him in Baltimore, and he's going to be one of the heaviest favorites in the history of the Belmont. Because he's a good horse, but I don't think he's going to win this race.
And if that's the case, I will be betting a Todd Pletcher horse to beat him in the Belmont and be cashing. Lone Sailor.
Okay, go on. Go ahead.
Lone Sailor. I really like this horse. At 50-1, this horse I feel like is flying under the radar. And I mean, sure, it's a coincidence that he is the same post as mine, that bird, and unfortunately, there is that coincidence. But...
I gave out on Frank's show. Remember I gave that horse out, Frank?
Frank's not here, and I couldn't read back then. But with this horse... with this horse, he suddenly improved. Now, by suddenly improved... That risks two things. One, he gets even better off this race, which I'm thinking is the case, or he could bounce because that race is so uncharacteristic to the rest of his form. But that last race in particular, the only problem he had was he hanged in that final 16th of a mile in the Louisiana Derby after an okay race against allowance horses at the fairgrounds, which, I mean,
field-wise isn't really that tough, and I wouldn't even say the Louisiana Derby was that tough a field, but I've been watching this horse work, and this horse had a 57 bullet 5 furlong workout, and his,
that's incredible.
And in his last workout, he started,
that's absolutely off the charts.
It's actually his most recent workout that impressed me the most. He started off fast, the rider shut him down, and then he sprinted the final eighth of a mile. This horse is so handy. And that is so useful in the Kentucky Derby, especially with all the trip problems that happen. That
really is.
That this horse.
It really is. Yeah. It really is the big factor. You've got to be able to stay close, and yet you've got to be able to handle the pressure of the pace, meaning not just the speed, but you know, of the furious competition that's going to be in the top five or six, you know, going into that last turn. Mm-hmm. Those horses that circle up from nowhere, they never win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the horses that are sitting, generally speaking, those, you know, deep, deep, deep closers, they don't win.
Mm-hmm. But that's
it's usually somebody who can attend the pace. You don't have to be sitting first or second.
Mm-hmm.
But, if, you know, you've got to be sitting in that first six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to survive, you know, move through there. And you know, guys are not letting you out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. Go on, I'm listening.
So I don't think he's going to be that deep a closer. He's not going to be like 20th to the first turn. He's going to be up in that middle of the pack.
And that's important in this race.
Mm-hmm.
It's only race. That's only horse 8.
Well, because there's three or four. The reason I mentioned it there, and I guess we should speed up, or we're going to be talking about the Derby the entire show, and I know Frank doesn't generally like that, but I do want to say this.
Okay.
There are 3 or 4 deep closers in the race. And they look good because they get money every week. And I could use some of those horses for 3rd, 4th, and 5th. They generally don't get much closer than that, though. Go ahead.
I could say of the closers, he's the one I like best. I don't really like the rest of them.
Okay. All right, so, good. So I'll consider using him. Thank you for that. I see he was 2nd at Churchill, by the way, which is important. In other words, he did race here and he was 2nd. And the other thing I'd like to add in is on September 3rd, upon your examination, your advice that it be sloppy, he won by 11 lengths in the slop. It is only slop race.
Good to know. Hofburg, the 9.
Yeah.
Okay. How rare is it that Bill Mott has a Derby entrant?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill Mott's not the Bill Mott of old, but he's only winning at 13% nowadays, but I want to say one thing about this horse.
Okay.
Look at his odds in his first 3 starts.
18-7-8.
So nobody really is, you know what I mean, the connections are not really high on this horse, and yet look at how he's outrun those odds. That's all I want to say. He's outrun those odds. He was a strong 2nd in the Florida Derby. You know, he was an even 4th in his debut, and then he won his maiden race first time out as a 3-year-old, and then he, you know, ran that extremely strong 2nd in the Florida Derby. So, you know, he keeps outrunning his odds.
I think he misses the board.
I wouldn't say he's going to win, but you know what I mean.
I don't think he's top 5. He was best of the rest last time. That Florida Derby field was so strung out.
Yeah, he was wide, though. He raced a good field. You know, he did race well. I don't think he'll be in the top 5 either. But I just want to say this is not a bad horse.
My boy Jack, I really don't like this horse. He's too deep a closer. And he's no exaggerator.
Well, hold on a minute. My boy Jack, Frank.
Bye.
Is Frank still there?
Yeah,
I'm here. Okay, he didn't leave my boy Jack. Is it a hunch?
I don't play hunches.
Hey, if you have a hunch, bet a bunch. Now listen, this Keith DeSormo has won 23% of his races this year already. He's got Kent aboard, and you know, Kent's first ballot type of Hall of Famer. I could use this horse underneath. You know what? He was over-raced already. You don't see too many horses with 10 starts going into the first week of May at Churchill. But the reason they're racing this horse is he doesn't win a lot of races, but he gets a lot of money. So you see, for an inferior horse, he's only a $20,000 yearling, but you see how they bank $650,000 with him?
Mm-hmm.
So Like, we're talking about deep closers. This horse looks like he can get something at the end. I don't think so against these horses. Although, you notice that his speed numbers are progressively improving?
As he goes on? I don't notice that.
I don't look at the speed numbers.
Yes, what do you mean you don't look at it? You're looking at it right here. He started in the 40s and 50s and 70s and 80s, and now he's in the 90s.
It means nothing.
It means he's progressing forward, that's all.
Yeah, if you believe those numbers.
I don't like him, but I can see him getting fourth or fifth.
I can't.
Okay, fine.
You know what? He closes, he'll pass tired ones. That's what I'm saying. He's not a competitor. Yeah.
That's how you finish 10th.
Passed tired ones.
Yeah, pass, we all pass. Bolt D'Oro is, you know, he's never been off the board. He's versatile. He's value here. You know, this horse has three races over 100. That's the same as the favorite. That's the same as Justify. He's slower than Justify by a few ticks, you know, on the buyer ratings. But he's got three times over 100. That's very, very big if you look at it historically against all three-year-olds in the Kai Derby. Very few of them have ever had three races above 100. This horse, he was odds on to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He won his first three races. He's gone bad since then. I think he's going to be like 10, 12 to 1. He's got Victor up. He's a $600,000 yearling. But here's what scares me. Look at Ruiz's, I mean, you know, I hate to say this because this is really a star horse, and you know, Ruiz owns the horse too. But look at your Ruiz's percentage for the year.
Okay.
Can you see it where you're looking?
3 for 61.
5%.
Yeah, but what kind of horses does he race? That's the other thing.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't really follow that. I'm just saying he's only, it's not like he's won 5% of 12 races. He's won 5% of 61 races.
Is that the trainer's so talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the trainer?
Yeah, the trainer of the 11. So this horse has been knocking on the door. He was second in the San Felipe, second in the Derby. He was the big favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He won his first three starts. He now gets Victor Espinosa. I think that's always positive. You know, Victor is a very strong rider, and he's had four or five tremendous back-to-back years.
I remember one meet at Santa Anita. He was 0 for 100.
Who was he?
Yeah, it took him a couple months to win a race.
How about that? No, I remember Joe Bravo when he started out at Philly Park years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He went, I think, 9 months without a winner. Joe Bravo went, like, you know, I think it was 9 months, or maybe he had one win or something.
My mom went 9 months without a baby. Then she had me.
Oh, he's a sick man. Okay, so, Bolt D'Oro, any thoughts?
This horse would have to be 30-1 for me to like. He seems like a wise guy horse, much like Hofburg, except much more than Hofburg.
He's a better horse than Hofburg, yeah. At this point,
I couldn't see myself. I could see betting him underneath, but I would want more value in the exotics than with him.
You know what I like about the horse? He doesn't need to be on the lead. You see those races where he can come from fifth and sixth and eighth?
Oh, I
like that. It means he's handy. You know what I mean? In other words, it means he is seasoned. He can handle the traffic. This Ruiz worries me. I don't know. You know, maybe Espinosa will overcome that. But I'm not going to bet this horse. I'm not going to bet him.
Enticed entices me a little bit. As much as I don't like the New York circuit, because the Wood Memorial has historically been one of the worst Derby preps in the last few years.
No good anymore. Yeah, it's no good for decades now.
But this horse, he won pretty handily in the Gotham, albeit the Gotham is now a one-turn race. And then in the Wood Memorial, he would have won that too if he hadn't been interfered with in the stretch. And it's not necessarily that bad a race, but I also don't like Vino Rosso. The one line in particular that I'm drawn to is his win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, at Churchill Downs. But again, that's at 2. So, it's different than at 3, but he's gonna be a price and maybe worth using.
Well, the horse has been on the board 5 or 6. He also has, you know, 600,000 earned. I think he's cheaper than these horses, although it wouldn't shock me. He's very well bred. He comes from an excellent barn, more of a turf barn. He comes from the top stable, the second top stable in the world, Godolphin. And Alvarado is up on this horse. You know what I like about the horse? He's one of these people that can stalk and still hang out at the end. But I think he's cheaper than these.
But he's also going to be a decent price.
He's going to be a big price.
Yeah.
He's cheaper than these, so I don't know. This is, you know what we're discovering through this conversation? How deep this field actually is. I mean, maybe there's only three or four that could win it, but there's many who could be in the exact. You know what? This super could pay a house.
I remember.
This super could pay a house.
Well, I remember last year in particular, I thought the same thing. But then it turned out to be one of the most haveable superfectas in the history of the Derby. Always dreaming, looking at Lee, who when the rail was hot that day, you know that horse is going to be in it. Classic Empire, whoever was fourth, and Practical Joke was fifth. Like, most of the favorites were up there, and looking at Lee made that pay. So it could necessarily be easier than we think, too.
Well, yeah, any race could end up chalk. I'm saying this is a race that also could end up with scrambled eggs. And if that happens, and an Enticed gets in the number, and he's second, and a horse like, who's that horse you liked for value earlier?
Lone Sailor.
Yeah, and he gets in there third, and this horse here, Enticed, runs second. Even if you get the chalk winning the race, let's say the seven were to win, but if you get these bombs second, third with the huge pool, the thing could come back $60,000 or $40,000, you know, with an eight, because a favorite here is not going to be 3 to 5. A favorite in this race pays $9.
And that's before taxes, you should add. After taxes, you walk out with $10.
Right, exactly. You split it with the government, the racetrack. Let's go to 13, Bravazo.
I only like this horse because it's Lucas, but that last race is so bad.
Lucas has won this race 8 times.
I watched this horse work, I saw the work he did on the 20th, and it was alright. He sat off of horses, but it looked like it wasn't intentional. The horse just did not break well, and that does not really bode well.
I think this horse is a morning glory, because he has that 59 back at Oaklawn. And then the other thing is, I want to point out to listeners around the world who really don't follow the game as much as we do, that Calumet Farm historically is one of the great thoroughbred farms, and they have many wins in the classic races also. But Dwayne Lucas, as you pointed it out, he does have those 8 wins. He's won with long shots before. This horse was 21-1 in the Risen Star, and he won.
And I liked him then, but I didn't bet.
And he was really, so that was a gritty race. That was a big race of his life.
That was a slow race. It was still slow.
Yeah, but I'm saying he was 21-1, and he's going to be like 60-1, and I don't like him. I'm just trying to get some positive on all the horses. You know what I mean? Something positive to say.
I tried to figure out what happened in the Louisiana Derby, and it looked like around the far turn, there might have been some kind of equipment malfunction. The horse was running poorly. Stevens was kind of like rigging the reins a bit, and I don't know if he was trying to wake the horse up or if something went wrong, but that last race is so bad. But yet, Lucas has a history of bouncing very strongly off races like that.
And that horse was unruly. Stevens was fighting him all the way down the backside. And, you know, he attended the pace, and then he just, it's like he lost interest at 2-1. Something was wrong there. And I don't think he's going to go forward. You know, I like a horse going forward. This horse went backwards in his last start. And horses that have an excuse in their last race are not meant to win the Derby. Most of them come off a big race. You know, a Santa Anita Derby. You know what I mean. They do not just come off of finishing eighth and then suddenly reverse it, generally.
Yeah.
I don't like this horse. Anyway. But you could like him, but go ahead, Mendelsohn.
This is the true wise guy horse.
Okay, let me up now.
All right.
Okay. This horse here has never lost with Lasix, and he ran with Lasix once, and he won a Breeders' Cup with it.
Good enough for me.
I was on the turf, but that doesn't matter, because this horse goes both ways. Let me say one thing about this particular horse.
Okay, Mendelsohn. But only one thing. You can say more than one thing. It's fine.
Okay, well, I'll say two or three things here. I don't know about you, but I don't know too many horses that walk through the ring and bring $3 million as a baby, as a yearling. This Mike Tabor and his partners put up $3 million for this horse. Now, there's a bunch of scat daddies in the race.
I was just about to say that.
Cheapest stallion in the USA because he stands for $30,000 and a fourth of this field are scat daddies. So he's
in
not
a dirt race.
$30,000 in the future. But I want to say something. This horse, now, horses from the UAE Derby are 0-for-9. But this horse was so phenomenal in that race. Now, granted, he wasn't racing against anybody, mm-hmm. but the clock of 155 is with no run-up. That's from a standing start, whereas, you know, we give our horses 2 or 3 seconds. Okay, this horse from a standing start went 155. He won by 18 under a death grip. Okay, he was cantering. He was yanked at the end. He went a 106 buyer when they translate, you know, the time form number of 120 to the buyer. It came to 106. He's been first or second 5 of 7. He's won on the dirt. He's won on the turf. He's won on the synthetic. This horse is a monster. Now, he's been in quarantine, so he wasn't in Louisville. He had to be sent to another city. Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore is a great, not a good jockey. He's a great jockey. Aidan O'Brien is one of the top trainers on the face of the globe, better than most of ours, because Aidan O'Brien races in 10 countries every day. Having said all that, this is a big question mark. I'll say this. When he came to the USA, this horse was favored, even though he, you know, went off at 480-1, and he pissed on them at Del Mar.
By a length. When you say pissed, on him, I expect to see like 5 or 6 lengths, like in the UAE Derby.
About a good trumping, a good yellow, you know, with a golden shower.
You have the tape, is what you're saying?
I have the tapes, and I'll tell you something. Mendelssohn gave them a golden shower in Dubai. Okay? And he was big when he came to Del Mar. So this is not a piece of garbage here.
You know,
I still really haven't decided, you know, one horse to stand out in the race. Because, you know, I've said a lot of positive things about a lot of these horses. I just want to point these positives out. You can point the negatives out now. I'll listen.
I just want to say that the penalty for golden showers in Dubai is death.
Oh, my God, I know. Oh, I was lucky to get out of there. Go ahead.
Listen, Mendelssohn is one of those, you know, a horse that acquires a legend before you can even apply the word legend, because he's only, you know, it's outrageous. And if he is any
better. Love affair with this horse, you mean?
What?
You're talking about the love affair that people have with this horse? What's outrageous?
Well, it's outrageous that a horse is like this, and people will, it's just wrong, is what it is. It's just wrong. If he's the best horse in the world, he'll prove it. Because
hold on a minute. What's wrong? You say it's wrong. It's wrong. What is wrong?
Well, what is wrong is to put so much on this horse that in a certain way, it's like Arazi got scared of himself.
Okay, I get it. No, you know, I get it now. I was just asking.
Yeah.
Let me retort. Let me please come back. I want to say something. It sounds like I'm going to bet this horse. I'm not saying I am. But let me come back at you. This horse, when he was shipped to Dubai, you know, really, that was a freak race. That was a freak race. Although it was a grade two. He's only raced in that one grade one. And that one grade 1A, you know, that's my name for all these big races, 1A, because they're bigger than grade ones. It's when all the grade one winners get together. So in the Breeders' Cup, even though it was a turf, the juvenile turf, he came in from nowhere and won that race. He came in from nowhere and won in Dubai. I think this is a very legitimate animal. You don't pay $3 million for a pet. All these horses go for $300,000 and $500,000. $3 million for a yearling? And these are experts. not just billionaires. Tabor's an expert. He buys lots of million-dollar horses. When he stood up to $3 million, that said something. And this horse has actually performed like a $3 million product. I'm not going to say he's going to win this race. I'm just saying this is a real racehorse.
The 15 was a $1 million purchase and runs like garbage.
Exactly. So they don't all perform to the big price tag, but this horse has. That's all.
The risk.
There's a lot of million-dollar horses and half-million-dollar horses in the race. The race is full of them. That's what they go for nowadays. $300,000 to $500,000, mm-hmm. a top colt, a top yearling. Okay, so this one went for $3 million. That's a big statement. And you know what? That's just a very big statement. $3 million.
How? What is it, Dusty? I didn't catch it the first time.
Here's why it's a big statement, Ray. I'm going to tell you why. Because Tabor wasn't bidding against his mother. These are all a bunch of strangers that drove that horse up to $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else had their hand up at $2.9 million. Am I making some sense now? In other words, there was a lot of competition to pay $3 million, and Tabor just said they finally folded their hands, knowing that Tabor's so deep that the next bid would be $4 million.
I will not contest.
In other words, you're not going to stop him because you make it $3.5 million.
I will not contest anything you're saying because it's all so obvious, and it's there, and anybody who knows it realizes that this is the one and only horse that can get those kind of compliments and can live up. No, I don't forget about live up. I can, because we don't know. That can stand as sterling with his resume as any of them. Based on what you said, okay, this horse should be 1-5 and everyone else should just be nothing. Okay?
Well, based on... if he were to drive the 7 into the ground and all these other horses and win this race for fun after winning in California and winning in Dubai and winning in Europe,
this horse would
really be one of the most remarkable horses in history Saturday.
It can happen. We know it can happen. But what I'm saying is if you're measuring this race the way you're doing now, handicapping it, okay, and giving chances, what you just described is the one and only winner, and he should be 1-5 here, and that would be value. The way you have talked about this horse, the way you are handicapping this horse, is what I'm saying, is like, there's no other discussion. You can't say what you just said about that horse, which is absolutely true. Everything about you say is true. You can't say that and then come up with a case for any other horse in this
race.
Let's
all fight!
You can't.
He's a lot more seasoned than the
you
7.
Do all that, and okay, then you go. You
hold
just,
on, let me say a couple you, more things about
okay,
him.
Okay,
go ahead. He has a resume.
He's got a resume
that is so unusual to the Kentucky Derby. In other words, here's a horse that won on the turf as a baby. The Breeders' Cup, but it was a turf race. And then, on top of that, to win in Dubai, even though it was a grade two, to win like he did in another, and to win in Europe. In other words, we've never had an international runner like this in the Derby. And now, the ones that have won the UAE Derby are 0-9. But,
Dusty.
We've never had a horse.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you.
This credentialed on an international basis.
I am not disagreeing with you. You keep adding positives. My point is this. You said all that, and then you said, but I'm not saying he's going to win the race. You said all of that.
You can't say he's
going to win the race, but for God's sakes, he's
hold on a minute.
He's like
in a
Jesus
very,
the horse.
Very good field shooter. This is not the horses in Dubai that he beat by 18 lengths, Frank.
I'm not arguing with you.
The Druck in Dubai that he raced against, I wouldn't use those horses to plow my South 40. Okay? The crap that he beat in Dubai was such absolute garbage, but that doesn't mean he wasn't phenomenal.
Instilled regards the 15 horse, trained by Jerry Hollendorfer with Trade Van Dyke aboard. This, I can't, here's my point with Mendelsohn. If this horse is like 8-1 for some reason, that's good value. If not, then move on. To Instill.
I need more than 8-1.
Oh, really? After that glowing report, after the report card you gave to him, you need more than 8-1?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the 15 horse.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, I was making my last point on Mendelsohn.
Oh, no. No, on Mendelsohn, I'm going to give you my price. And Frank's an expert odds maker, but I'm going to give you my price. I need 5-1 or higher to even think about using this horse in any part of the gimmicks.
Oh, it's not like he's 5-1 morning line, but that's a good insight.
Well, I need that or higher to even consider him. If he's under 5-1, I'll throw him out. I don't care what he looks like. I want to beat him if he's under 5-1. I want to beat anybody in this race who isn't 5-1.
I just want to beat anybody, period. I'm angry right now. Instilled regard.
I want to get something out of the race, and I do not want anything. In other words, if the 7 is 6-1, I'll go in and bet wrong money. Wrong money to take 6-1. I'll do the same with Mendelsohn. I'm not betting horses, I bet odds. That's why I'm not giving you a winner. But what I want to say to you is, I want odds in this race.
Oh, yeah.
Mendelsohn was 4-1 when he won the Breeders' Cup Turf. I want, you know, like, I want 5-1, 6-1 before I even look at Mendelsohn. I don't want any of these top horses at 4-1 or 3-1. I don't want it in this race. They don't deserve to be that price in this race. This is more of an international race for the first time ever. Ever. You know, I did 150 years. This is more like a race in Australia, Hong Kong, Tokyo. This is a real good horse race for a change. And I want to say something. There's not going to be any looking at luckies. You know what I mean? Or always say, there's not going to be any type of thing like that. This is going to be a real horse race where they're going to go in 2-1 or faster, maybe 2 minutes and change. So
it's a real international race with one international horse.
No. All these horses, I think, would race anywhere in the world. Not all of them. I mean, all the contenders.
But Instilled Regard, maybe not. What's interesting with this horse is that he moved from the Louisiana circuit to the Santa Anita Derby, and I feel like that might have been because he could have gotten the points in the Santa Anita Derby. But still, that's a strange move, and he was still fourth in that race. I don't know what to make of him, but I can't really say it's anything positive.
One thing I've noticed over the years is this, and it's just an add-on. I hope we're not running out of time, but I wanted to say this quickly. Once a horse has been beaten by another horse in the same race, generally that other horse, unless it was a fluke, continues to beat the one that was beaten. You know what I mean? In other words, especially in harness races, you'll see a certain horse wins every week, you know what I mean, like Annihilator, and then the one that runs second every week. They generally don't, you know, trade places. Even Affirm to beat Aladar over and over and over again, even though it was by inches. And Sunday Silence beat Easygoer, you know, except for the one big race. So my point is, once you establish that you beat that horse, somehow, some way, they still continue to beat them. That's where I take a horse like this who was fourth or whatever behind the 7. And I don't like them. He's already shown he's, in other words, he can't go with the 7. So I doubt that he would trade places with the 7, you know, today. I mean, Saturday. But, you know, anything's possible. Go ahead.
He couldn't keep up with Bravazo. So Magnum Moon.
I don't like these. All these horses are nice horses, though, even the bad ones. Even the 50-1s. These are nice horses in this field.
I think any one of them would eat you alive.
Rubbish. Huh?
Any one of them would eat you alive if they got the chance.
You know what? There's a lot of rubbish sometimes in the Derby. This year, that, you know, when they say deep, I see 15 or 16 horses, not who could win the race, but who will turn into good race horses. If they don't get injured. I see 15 of these 20 that could actually win, you know, a couple of $1 million. That's pretty damn good.
Compared to last year, no doubt, where we're still trying to find 18 of the horses that ran into the Derby.
And many of those years, years. You know, a lot of hype, but once it came down to it, most of them are rubbish. Okay.
I blame the point system.
This is a very, you know, even the horse like Kent DeSormo was a big closer here, the Kent DeSormo horse. I don't like him in this race. I'm just saying, that horse will make a couple of $1 million. He's made $600,000 already, running third and fourth from dead last. Yeah, this is a very good field of animals. You know, they're not all the same. They're not all as good as the 7 or the 14 or, you know what I mean, or the good one. And some of these others have already won $1 million. But there are many good horses in here. The expensive horses, well-bred, that have done well. Go ahead.
If we're going to talk overbet horses in the Derby, the most overbet horse is probably going to be Magnum Moon. This horse did not impress me in the Arkansas Derby. The only thing that was somewhat eye-catching was the way this horse turned foot into the stretch, but even then, he was green as hell, and he was drifting in and out and in and out.
He's always wobbling, this horse. Not just the one, that one, but at other times, he's been drifting around. You know, horses like this have had their papers torn in half before. You know what I mean? Once they actually hurt somebody. So, yeah, this horse has got some issues, and yet he's undefeated, isn't he? I don't have my book in front of me.
Well, I mean, look at the horses he beat. Quip, he's debatable, especially when looking at Flameway. Soleimani, throw that horse out completely. I'm not going to say how could you consider Combatant a contender. He's just a really out there contender. He hasn't really been beating the best of the circuits.
Combatant?
No, Magnum Moon.
I'm on the Moon horse.
Yeah, Magnum Moon. That's the thing, is he's beaten Soleimani and Combatant, and those are not necessarily the strongest horses.
Those are the weakest horses. But you know, I like that Soleimani a little bit I like him not Saturday. I like him. He's one of the ones I was saying, have a potential. I don't have it in front of me. I will in a moment. I'll go back in that room. But, there was something about Soleimani I thought was, you know, not for Saturday, but just in general. He's a nice sort of horse, you know, but yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's the type of horses he's been beating, not these type.
Yeah, and for the price he's going to be, just because he's undefeated in Todd Pletcher, not worth it.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
And yet, you're right, he's going to be like 6-1 third choice or whatever, or 7-1 in the book or whatever it is. He's got the worst of it. He's way out there. He's one that likes to attend the pace. And there's going to be a lot of horses leaving here inside of him. We are way inside of him. Where's he going to be sitting? You know, 5 wide, 4 wide, way out there, 5th or 6th on the outside. That's not a good trip.
You're certainly right. When we're talking about circles.
That's not a good trip. Go on. Go ahead.
I got nothing else to say about Magnum Moon. I thoroughly despise this horse. If you even consider using him on the Super High Five, I could tell you almost affirmatively, 100%, throw him out.
A lot of these top horses like Magnum Moon, I like them anyway in regular races, what we call top or and out. Top and out when you're gambling means they could win, but if they don't win, I figured they're going to run 16th.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't think he's going to win, so I think he's going to be closer to 60. But my point is, you know, he's a topper out, in my view, type of horse. In other words, you either like him to destroy this field, or you think he's going to be in the garbage pile, and I think he's going to be in the, you know,
and
in the round pile.
If you think he's going to destroy this field, then Godspeed, my friend.
Smoking too much herb, and we'll get back to Frank in one moment and ask him about that. Meanwhile, go to the next horse.
Soleimani, the 17. Let's look back here. Second in the juvenile to Good Magic. He attended the pace there and was basically best of rest. He won the cash call Futurity at Los Al, towards the end of December. And again, he was up close to the pace. He seems like a horse that should be up close to the pace, but then last out, when the pace was slow, he was off of it, and ultimately, I think that's what did him in.
Okay. Here's my notes on that horse, by the way.
All right.
Steady. Huge. Price. And he's got class. Now, why does he have class? He's raised Magna Moon, Good Magic, Bolt D'Oro. He hasn't raced against anybody that's garbage. In fact, we were just saying that Magna Moon's been racing weaker, like Soleimani.
Uh-huh.
But Soleimani has been trying better horses than he is, and he's been getting money. He's been on the board 6 of 6, and look at, he's raised top horses here. Bolt D'Oro, Good Magic, Magna Moon. He won that first start. You know, and a good horse is supposed to win his first start lifetime. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, there's some problem. Like, he didn't get away well. So, Soleimani could outrun his odds. I could use him for third, fourth, or fifth. I think he's a sleeper. Now, he's Baffert. Baffert's 34% for the year. This horse has not been off the board. He was a $270,000 yearling. He's a Curlin. He's won almost $750,000. He's not won his a two lifetime, and he's won $750,000. So you know who he's been facing, the very best. He was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He won the Los Al Futurity. He won the... And then he was disqualified in that race. And then he won the, and then he was prominent in the Arkansas Derby. You know, when he was behind the better horse, Magna Moon. I don't like this horse, but I think I like his odds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand fully, and I've made similar arguments.
I like his odds.
In terms of the horse, though, that last race in particular somewhat sways me to want higher odds.
Well, I do want high odds, and yeah. You notice he's been like, even money 3-1, 5-2, 6-5, he's going to be 40-50-1 here. I like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this Flavian Pratt has really shown me something in Santa Anita. You know, he's a very good rider. I like this horse a little bit. I mean, for value. Mm-hmm. I don't like this horse, you know what I mean, because he's going to win the Kentucky Derby, blah, blah, blah. He's an international horse like the 14, no. I just think this horse could outrun his numbers.
He certainly could. Yeah.
I could see him running third at 45-1, that type of thing, you know, because he's been on the board in every start. So I don't know. I'm going to use him, I think.
I lean against just because of how flat he's been in his last few races, but he's also been best of rest, so you could be right in that regard, too.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
One of those horses you use just, you know how you use 4 or 5 of them for huge prices underneath,
mm-hmm.
you know, and try to get a 50-1 in there. And he's one of those in my head. Vino Rosso.
Oh, this is another toss.
I know. This, I know a lot of people who are on to this horse. You know, Steve Haskins has him on top. I know a lot of guys now. He's got the top jockey. He's from the Fletcher barn. 30% barn. He won the Wood, which doesn't impress me. You know, it's a bad race.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's won the 3 out of 5, 60%. And, you know, he was a $400,000 yearling. He's won his 6. That's what I'm saying. There's so many horses in here that have, you know what I mean, shown potential to win a lot of money, you know, over a couple of years. And he's one of them. But I don't think he's well spotted here. Bad post, just a very tough field. This is a handy horse, though, because you see the way he won the Wood? That's the exact trip that it would take to win the Derby. In other words, he was in 6th, 4th, 1st. So do you see what I'm saying about him? You know what I mean. He's the type of ability to win the race. I just don't see it because I think he's going to be in a bad spot out there.
That's where I'm at too. And especially that last race in particular, it collapsed so strongly because Old Time Revival set that pace and he was the lone horse on the lead. And so everyone else was just chasing and Vino Rosso didn't even show much in terms of capitalizing off that speed.
He would have to really step forward in the respect that he's never won a grade one, and he's never won a grade one, what I call a grade 1A, which means, you know, like the Santa Anita Derby or, you know, a Breeders' Cup race. So I don't really think that Vino Rosso is well spotted, although I would love to have a horse like this. He's a nice horse.
I can't say the same, but I don't own horses. Noble Indy.
Okay, Noble Indy. He's one of the very few horses to me that's an absolute throwout, even with 3 wins.
Mm-hmm. That last race fell into his lap completely, even though I like Lone Sailor, but Lone Sailor admittedly hanged. Don't really know why he hanged, if he'll have that kind of issue in the Derby, but this horse was off the speed, off a 99-1 shot setting the pace, and then just took over. He was the lone horse at the top of the stretch, and he came back, but that's the only positive for this horse. Otherwise, he won his maiden first time. He beat an allowance.
Hold on, Dean Nixon's on the line from Canada. Dean, who do you like in the, you're on the radio. Who do you like in the Kentucky Derby? Let me put the phones up together.
I'm a bad person to ask because I don't know his single
entrant. Say that again.
I don't know a single entrant in the race.
Okay, well let me ask you this. Where are you right this moment?
I am in Woodstock, Ontario on the 403 highway.
You're in Woodstock, Ontario, and did you win any races tonight up there?
I was fourth and more.
Okay. Well, Dean, we're going to let you go, but we wanted to send a shout out to you since you called in to say hello to us. And,
all right.
And we're going to continue on, and maybe we can talk to you in about an hour.
That sounds fantastic.
All right, Dean, take care. Dean Nixon calling in from Canada.
Is that the Woodbine trainer, Dean Nixon?
That's Woodbine trainer Dean Nixon. Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Good
guy.
Combatant. The last of them. Last of 20. Because Blended Citizen's not drawing in. What is there to say about this horse? Steve Asmussen. His horse is usually better from the inside. Am I the only one that's noticed all of his horses are off the pace types?
You know, I didn't notice that until you just now. I see this one is anyway, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean...
I didn't notice that, no, but yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, because looking at Lee was second. He came from nowhere. Creator won the Belmont. He was way out of it.
Well, you know what? If Baffert has speed-type horses, that's because his horses are more dominant than Asmussen's. You see what I mean? In other words, when you've got horses like American Pharoah in your barn, they're going to be closer to the pace every day than Combatant.
Yeah.
Does that make... Yeah. So... He's a notch below the Pletchers and the Bafferts, Asmussen. But yeah, I guess you're right now that you mention it.
So Dusty Dusty, here's what you have to do. You have to get, you're going to give us a fake ticket you got to do that now.
We're
a few minutes away from turning our show over to the next person. So let's go. Who do you got?
Okay, there's somebody waiting in the wings here. Hold on a minute.
There's another show coming up after this, so it's not us.
There's another show?
Yeah, we have to get out of here in 6 minutes or 7 minutes.
Oh, okay. You know what? I am not going to give a pick.
Okay.
This is the first time ever. I'm not going to give a top horse. What I am going to do is give you two or three long shots right now to use in your gimmicks.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say to use Hoffberg. To outrun his odds, number 9. I'm not picking him to win. I'm saying he could be in the try in the ancient superfecta. I'm going to pick Hoffberg. I'm going to pick Salamini. And I'm going to pick Racehorse. And I'm going to pick Free Drop Billy. Now, I'm speaking of underneath now.
There are 16
and
horses left.
Ray, who did you like earlier?
The 8, Lone Sailor.
Lone Sailor, right. And those are the horses. So just to repeat that, Free Drop Billy number 2, Lone Sailor number 8, number 9, Hoffberg, and these are underneath horses, pretty much. You know, I don't think any of them are going to win. And number 17, Salamani. So these are value pieces to consider in your gimmicks. You know who the top horses are. You already know who they are. Those are the 7, the 14, and some of the others that other people like Good Magic Audible and the 1. Not the 1.
Friends fires a champion. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I just mentioned. So I like those 16 horses that I just mentioned. And no, those are the bombs that I like. And I'll say it again. The 2, the 8, the 9, and the 17, not together in a box. Although if you box them, it will be a $3,000 exacta. So why not box them? But Those are the type of horses, one or two of them make it into the Tri, the Exacta, the Super, or the Pentathlon, or whatever it's called.
You came back with a vengeance, my good man. My good friend, Dusty Nathan, came back with a vengeance. It's been too long.
I had a good time with you guys. But, you know, every time you and I talk, Frank, it's like we spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how that is. But I'm going to let you go, and I thank you for having me on.
Listen,
I love being with you. And, Ray, it was a pleasure being on with you. You're a very astute young guy, and I've been following your career from afar, and I wish you luck. I know you're in the midst of finals, and I wish you a very good luck in your collegiate career, too.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dusty.
You're going to come back, and we're going to talk about other stuff, too.
Okay, great.
Okay, man.
And have a great night, and all good stuff for both of you.
Stay well, bud.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah. So anyway, all that comes down to this. Bette Mendelsohn. I don't know what to tell you anymore. Could you put some, we're going to, here, wait, let's move, give me those, just give me those headphones. I gotta try to figure out how we can get out of here with, I have no sound. I have no sound.
No, you should.
Oh, where
you,
am
no,
I?
You're just quiet. I turned you down.
I have no, well, that's me here. Is that me?
Yeah.
There I, oh boy. Whew. Wow. My good friends, my comrades out there, thank you. This is Cotolo, was Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Tolme. His name is nice. Have fun. I know a lot of you are not going to tell other people, hey, you're going to want to listen to this show, but, you know, there are some specialties going on. I thought we were going to do a lot of things, but that's how life goes. You know, this is what we do. Don't forget, go to Amazon, buy the books, and then go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Go through the archives, find out what you'd like to hear, and write to me at fcotolo@yahoo.com. Thanks to Mr. Dusty Nathan. Of course, thanks to Ray Cotolo. And he's all over the place, at Ray Cotolo on his Twitter. And, of course, who is it? It's at CJ Dustmon.
DJ.
I still don't. Where am I? At DJ Dustmon. That's Dusty Nathan. You want to catch his tweets? And, of course, at Frank Cotolo. And Frank Cotolo Facebook, even though I don't go there a lot. What can I tell you? If you're listening on the live stream, and only you people know who you are, you're listening on the stream, then Mr. Tom Savino will be popping up here shortly with some great, funny madness that's going on here in this world. He's the guy you got to make the time capsule. He's the guy you gotta take from. Anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, who is that over there anyway?
That's Mr. Cotolo over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's both Cotolas. We're here, and we have to now just roll out and move on with life. Because, you know, it's not over until the fat lady suffocates, and I think she's at it. What can I say? I've said all the things I could possibly say. Thanks, Ray.
You'll be no problem.
Thank you, Lois. Wild, wild. It's a wild, wacky world, I'd say. And we'll try to be back again here next week if everything goes right. And you'll hear us. What'll we do? I don't know. Go to the blog. Find out. Do that stuff. Oh, my goodness. I'm just exasperated, if that is even a word. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Thank you again, Dusty Nathan. He'll be back. A lot of people will be back. I guess. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you may be located. Those of you who go by the books at Amazon will know Mrs. Ernst Weil. Meanwhile, I'm leaving because I have nothing more to say.
Thank you.
That's some control over there. You know what I mean?